Praise the Lord. Thank you. Amen. You're an exciting group. Amen. Good to be here at Hiles Anderson Bible College. Amen. And I thank Brother Wilkerson for inviting me to do the revival there at the church, and also to be able to come and share the heart of God with you today. How many of you have ever eaten fried chicken more than once? Is it good every time you have it? Yeah. I think even burnt fried chicken is good, you know. I love fried chicken. I'm a Georgia boy, so I was raised on fried chicken and mashed potatoes and gravy and biscuits and all that good stuff. Yeah. Well, all right, Chick-fil-A, yes. So you like things over and over, right? Because they say I'm one of the most unusual preachers in the country. That used to bother me. These guys would introduce me. Well, we got the most unusual preacher in the country with us tonight. And I would say, what's wrong with me? You know? But I try to follow the Holy Spirit. Amen? I try to follow Him. And all during the night, I would wake up thinking about what I need to say here today. It's not about preaching a sermon or performing or entertaining, but it's about saying what God wants me to say. And I could not get away from what God told me to bring today. I remember preaching at Bailey's Grove Baptist Church, Brother John Shook. I mention his church often, but what made that revival so unusual, and he talks about it when he tells pastors are wanting to know what Brother Beckham preached on and what all the different messages were. And Brother Shook always says, well, what was so unusual about that six-week revival? And you want to know what he preached on. He preached the same sermon every night for 6 weeks. And they said, what? Never heard of that before. Well, what took place? He said, it turned the church upside down. We had 90 saved, and the church will never be the same. He said, where did you learn that from? In the school of the Holy Ghost. Amen. I wasn't taught that in a Bible college. I learned that just by walking with the Holy Ghost, being faithful to Him and wanting to please Him. So this morning, I want to go back to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, we're going to read verse 1. Usually, it's the same text, but most of the message is different because I'm preaching to different people every night of my life. Every week is a different church. So it really doesn't matter whether we heard something last night or even heard something this morning. What matters is we mind the Lord. And as you listen to the message, you mind the Lord. That's what matters. So let's stand and read Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. And my prayer is that everyone in this auditorium will open your hearts and let God do surgery in your heart this morning, okay? Chapter 3, Colossians 1. If. That doesn't bring doubt. That doesn't bring doubt at all into this verse. It's not talking about that. If. Or since. S-I-N-C-E. If since, then be risen with Christ. Seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above it, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Let's pray. Father, I am so thankful for the reading of your word this morning. Thank you for this honor of being able to be at Hiles Anderson Baptist College. And Lord, I just pray now that you will use me. Help me to be very loving. Help me to be very caring. Help me to be sensitive to the needs of these students and the staff that's sitting before me. And Lord, as I have prayed many times, if I can't be loving, if I can't be sensitive and caring, help me to sit down, be quiet, do nothing, allow Pastor Wilkerson to do the preaching. And then, Lord, they may be a lost person in this auditorium this morning. And if there is, I pray that they'll say yes to that loving, small voice, soft voice, merciful, gracious, loving voice. The Holy Spirit, and they'll say yes to the invitation that he is going to offer them and the gift that they are going to offer them. Thank you. I sure love you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. We have a problem in our churches, and we have a problem in our world, and we have a problem in our Bible colleges. And what we need to do, we need to, if you're going to have a prayer relationship, if you're going to have a walk with God, there are some things that you're going to have to do. And these are essential things. These are necessities. And if you don't do these things, you will never have a relationship with God. And you will never have any power in your life, and you will never be what God wants you to be. So what are the things that God requires for us to have in our life and things that we need to do in our lives to have a relationship with God? Now, prayer is not a bunch of words. Prayer is not a bunch of posture. Prayer is none of those things. Those things are involved in prayer, but prayer is not those things. And so, what do we have to do, number one, to have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, Pastor said that prayer was number one. Men will argue that matter, and many people will say, no, Brother Beckham, prayer is not number one. Preach the Word of God, that's number one. No, sir. No, Brother Beckham, prayer is not number one. You know, Brother Beckham, soul winning is number one. Oh, no. What does the Bible say? The disciples didn't say, Lord, teach us to preach, did they? They didn't say, Lord, teach us to be a soul winner. Even though those two things are biblical doctrines and we need to do them, but they're not number one. Unless you have a walking and talking relationship with God, you will never be the preacher that you should be. You'll never be the soul winner you should be. You will never be separated like you should be if you don't have, first of all, a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. But you say, Brother Beckham, I am very busy. Don't you understand, Brother Beckham? I'm in Bible college. I'm working. I'm married. I'm single. And I'm doing all these things. I'm taking 19 hours, a load of 19 units. And Brother Beckham, don't you understand that I just don't have time for this prayer stuff? You don't have time not to have this prayer stuff. Amen. You need to understand before we even get into this text that prayer is the most important thing in your life. That's what's going to get you through college. That's what's going to give you a great ministry one day. That's what's going to help you go to a mission field and build local churches, New Testament Baptist churches. Amen? Prayer is what's going to bring that to pass. Not intellect, not talent. No. But prayer. Let's look at the first ingredient to a life of prayer. The Bible says in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ. How many of you have been born again and you're not? Let me see your hands. So everybody has been risen with Christ. Is that right? Do I understand it right? That you've been risen with Christ. Let me see your hands again. You've been risen with Christ. You go into heaven when you die. You want to please God. Okay, let's look at number one, the first thing that we need to do. The Bible says, since you have been risen with Christ, since you are in the family of God, since you have repented of your sins, since you are going to heaven, since you love the Lord Jesus, seek me. Seek me. Seek those things which are above where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. But we are not only, students, we are not only to seek God and seek the things of God, but we are to Matthew 6:33. Turn with me there. The Bible says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all things shall be added unto you. But we must do it, first of all, and we must seek God. What? All right, are we to seek God, number two, number three, number four, number five? Where is God to be seeked? First of all. Say it. First of all. So we are to seek God. Now, let me tell you this. Preaching without application, guys, is useless. If you're not going to apply your preaching as you preach it, go and be a mechanic. Go and paint houses somewhere. But if you're going to preach the Word of God, apply it to the people that you're preaching to and apply it to your own life before you ever get into the pulpit. Amen. And so the Bible plainly says here, Benny Beckham, if you're going to have a relationship with me, you're going to have to seek my will in your life. And you're going to have to not only seek it, but you're going to have to do it. You're going to have to live it in the same way with you. Number two, look at the second thing. The Bible says, set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. What that word affection means is set your mind on the things of God. Where is your mind right now? Is it on an exam, or is it on a problem that you're going through, or is it on your job, or is it on financial woes, or what is your mind? If your mind is not on Colossians chapter 3 and verse 1 to 5, you're in trouble. We are to be focused upon the things of God. And every minute of the day, we are to be focused upon the things of God. Amen? Do I hear an amen right there? We got to get back to these essentials. And people read the Bible, and when they read it, and it doesn't agree with your little bit of humanistic thinking, you cut it off. You say, well, that's Brother Beckham's viewpoint. Oh, no, it's not. It is the Word of God. It is the pure Word of God. And God says, Howes Anderson students, you must seek me. You must put me first. You must be focused upon me. You must talk to me without ceasing. You must talk to me always. You must not faint. You must not get discouraged. You must seek me. You must be focused upon me if you're going to have a walk with me. And so that's pretty tough, isn't it? Can you already see that it's not the same message that I preached last night? Because God takes the text and he uses it with what to whoever I'm preaching to at that appointed time. And so God is saying to the Howes Anderson Baptist student body this morning, please, if you're going to say you've been risen with me, please don't bring reproach upon my name. Please, please, if you're going to tell people you have been risen with me and I'm your Father, please don't quench me. Don't bring reproach upon my name. Don't stomp my name in the mud puddle. Please, please don't do that. And then I want you to notice in Romans chapter 8, you may say, Brother Beckham, how do I live this Christian life? How do I do this? How do I get the thoughts of the world out of my mind? How do I stay focused? Well, I'm glad you asked. Look in Romans chapter 8, verse 5 and 6. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. It doesn't take a PhD to realize when a man or a lady is not what they need to be. All they have to do is open their mouth, and whatever is in the heart of that person is going to come out of the mouth or come out in our actions. Amen? And so the Bible tells us right here very plainly, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. And so if you are minding the things of the flesh right this morning, guess what? You're flesh. I love you, but that's the truth. That's the Bible. And notice what else it says here. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. And then it says to be carnally minded or the minding of the flesh is death. But to be spiritually minded or the minding of the Spirit is life and peace. So if we're going to walk after the flesh, let's just say, well, I'm not right with God. Admit to it. But don't claim to be something that you're not. Amen? Yeah. And then I want you to look in Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, a verse I did not quote last night. It says, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. See, Brother Beckham didn't write the book. I didn't write this, but I am obligated to preach the Word of God. I've been doing it for 54 years. I do not want to be guilty of watering down what God says. We need the pure stuff. Amen. And so when we think about this and we think about verse 5, oh my, Verse 5 is going to knock your socks off if you're walking in the flesh and you're not seeking God and you're not focused upon God. You're going to have trouble with verse 5, and it's going to defeat you. It might even kill you spiritually. But it's everywhere. I preach in all the Bible colleges, preaching churches, 48 churches a year. I see it everywhere. We got to get back to walking in the Spirit of God. Amen. I know that sometimes in fundamental circles, the Holy Spirit is not even preached anymore. I know that. But I know your pastor. I know the reputation of this school. And I know that you have stood upon the doctrine of the Holy Spirit for years. You have stood upon the Word of God for years. Amen. And I know that you know that this is the ingredients to a life of prayer. I know you know that. But here's a question for you. Are you doing these things? Are you doing these things? And see, Brother Beckham, don't take it for granted because you're a student at Hiles Anderson that you're doing these things. Amen? I don't. Because I went to Bible college. And I went to 6 of them, by the way. And let me tell you, just because I went to 6 Bible colleges, that doesn't mean one thing, really. I just went to 6 Bible colleges. But I'm glad I learned some things at those colleges because they have helped me to cope with verse 5 in my life. Look at verse 5. The Bible says, therefore, or mortify there your members which are upon the earth. Now we're going to deal with things that is in almost every Bible college in the country. I have sat in the president's office. I have sat in the vice president's office. I have sat in the dean of men's office. And I have heard also from the dean of women that these sins are in almost every college, Bible college, not secular college. I'm talking about Bible colleges in this country. And it's a problem. It's a bad problem that we have. They are sending kids home our young adults home every day. And it's all. You don't have to go to a filthy store to buy this stuff. All you have to do is mash a button on a phone, and there it is. Someone asked me, Brother Beckham, what do you think Bible colleges should do about this problem? And I said, well, have you ever thought about making it a rule that for any student to come to your college, they have to leave their phone at home for 4 years? Amen. Brother Beckham, we wouldn't have any students. We wouldn't have very many one men. I said, yeah, but the ones that you would have would be genuine. They would be real. They would be really seeking God's will. Amen. He was, oh boy. Yeah. You're hoping right now. You haven't prayed this morning until right now. And now you're praying, oh Lord, help Brother Wilkinson plug his ears up. Don't let him hear that. Everyone in this room just prayed. Now look in verse 5. Mortify. Put to death. Put to dead. Kill it. That's what the word mortify means. Well, your members which are upon the earth. Well, it lists one thing here. The first thing Paul deals with is fornication, including all forms of immoral and sexual acts. Look in 1 Corinthians 6:18. The Bible says, flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. The Bible says, flee fornication. That's the command from God. And the command means that man should escape from it. He should not stay to reason with it. He is not to debate the matter. What is he to do? He is to run. He is to get away from it. You say, oh boy, yeah. This is a sin where a man is safe only if he flees. You're not safe as long as you stand there and try to reason with it. The Bible says to flee, and that's what we need to do. But notice what else it says. But he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. You know what fornication does? It wastes the body's energies. It produces feebleness. It weakens in disease. It impairs the strength. It enervates the man. It shortens your life. That's what it does. And oh my. Oh my, you're young. Listen to me. Please listen to Brother Beckham this morning. But more than that, listen to the Holy Ghost and let him take this verse and let him put it in your heart. Amen. Since you've been risen with Christ, have you been guilty of fornication? Listen. If you are, you can't have a prayer life. You cannot have a prayer life and fool around with fornication. You cannot do it. You cannot do it. It's impossible because God is holy and we are to be holy too, for he is holy. And by the way, he doesn't float around in the heavenlies. He lives inside of you. 1 Corinthians 6:19-20. He lives inside of you. He sees it. Are you understanding that? The consciousness of God. Just wrote a book on the awareness of God, the consciousness of God. If we would walk in the awareness of God in our lives, we wouldn't say half what we say. We wouldn't do half what we do. We wouldn't go half the places we go to if we would just be aware of the presence of God in our lives. And then there's the next thing, uncleanness. This is speaking of moral impurity. Doing things that are dirty, that pollutes and soils the life. Look in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 3. The Bible says, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, it let it not. Now this is the book. Let it not be once named among you as become as saints. You have been risen with Christ. You claim to be a saint of God. Amen. And God says, don't you dare let this stuff be named among you. But we just kind of laugh it over. I don't see it that way. There's only one way to see it. There it is. And then look at the next one. Inordinate affection. What is it? His passion, his craving, his strong desire, his driving lust. It is, of course, a desire and craving for the wrong things, such as alcohol. Yes, it's in our schools. Yes, it is. Students sneaking around, taking a beer here, taking a little toddy here and this kind of stuff, and try to sneak back in the dorm before anyone would know about it. And buy 3 or 4 bottles of mouthwash and all this stuff. Yeah. alcohol, drugs. Number one sin in Bible colleges today is pornography. They're sending kids home every day, young adults like you, every day. Because they're involved in this stuff, inordinate affection. If ye then be risen with Christ, seek me, be focused upon me, make me your life, let me be number one in your life, and mortify this stuff so that you won't bring reproach upon my name and upon your school, upon the names of these professors. Amen. Look in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, 17, 24. The Bible says, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. One of you, a couple of you this morning in the hallway, you said, Brother Beckham, how do I stay above this stuff that you preached on last night? How can I get victory and really live for God right out there in those hallways this morning? And I said to you, and I'll say to the student body, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you're really serious about not doing these things, and you're really serious about getting this stuff out of your life and being a real Christian, if you're really serious, walk in the Spirit. Let the Spirit of God rule in your life. Amen? Yes, sir. That's the key. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. Verse 24. For they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. What is the key to Brother Beckham walking with God and being able to get victory over sin in my life? What is the key for Brother Beckham also to walk in the Spirit of God? The staff, the students, the saints of God across the world. That's the key. Well, I don't want to get fanatical, Brother Beckham. Well, I do. I want to be fanatical. I want to be sold out. I'm too far in the game to mess up now. Amen. I'm just too far. And guess what? You're just beginning. And if you don't begin right, you're not going to finish right. So what you need to do this morning, you need to, in a few moments, you're going to have to get off those pews and you're going to have to get on your face before God. And the problem is we're seeking God's hand so much, we're not seeking His face. God, I need my bill paid. I need a job. I don't need to get this COVID. God, I need you to help me. So we are seeking the hand of God. But what we need to do is need to seek the face of God. Amen? Be conscious of Him. And then notice evil concupiscence, that sexual desires again. And by the way, Paul is not talking to a barroom crowd here. He's talking to a local church. He's having to deal with this stuff. And we too have to deal with it. We can't sweep it under the carpet. We can't cover it up. He that covereth his sins shall not prosper. So we can't do that. We got to deal with it. So here it is. Evil concupiscence. Sexual desire. Lust. Evil desire. It is that within a person that pulls that person to that desire. It grasps him. It grabs him. It takes hold of all forms of evil that gives pleasure to the body and its members. I am having eye contact with many of you. Your brain is turning. Your wheels are turning. And you're thinking, oh my. Does Brother Beckham have a camera in my room? Does he have a camera in the hallways? Out on the campus? Man, he's preaching right to me. And every time he has stared at me the whole time. His finger has been pointing right on my nose the whole service. No. That's the Holy Ghost that lives inside of you. That's saying, hey, not Brother Beckham. I know. I have the camera because I'm inside of you. Amen. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3 through 5, quickly. 1 Thessalonians 4, 3 through 5. For this is the will of God. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye should abstain from fornication. It is the will of God that we do this. That every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles which know not God. Don't live like a bunch of Gentiles that don't even know God. James 1, verse 14 and 15. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. 1 Peter 2:11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul. Now let me just say this. This is God asking you to do this. And this is not these sins that Brother Beckham has been talking about and the Bible has been bringing out to you. Let me tell you, these are not sins just that young men commit. Young ladies are guilty of this stuff too. The statistics are alarming. I won't share them with you. They are alarming. And then I want you to look at the next one, covetousness. Craving, grabbing, desiring to have something. It is desiring to have something when it's not needed. It is desiring more than what we need and more than what we should have. And if you're not careful, as you covet this stuff, they'll become your idols. And when it becomes your idol, you're in trouble. We need to get rid. We need to make sure. How many of you are saved, let me see? You've been risen with Christ. Okay. Here's the question. Probably 99% of the hands went up, maybe 100. But let me ask you, are you seeking God today? Can you honestly say, yes, I'm seeking God? As I said to the church last night, if Pastor Wilkerson got up in front of this mic and said to you this morning, every one of you that are seeking God, I want you to walk across this platform and tell the student body, I'm seeking God, I'm focused upon God, He is my life, He is everything to me, He's number one. Would you be willing to do that? Or what if He said, tonight in the church service, all the students of Hiles Anderson, since you have been risen with Christ, And since you're so dedicated to Christ, and I know you would want the church to know, I want you to walk across the platform. We're going to take some time tonight for every one of you to tell the church, I seek God. I'm focused upon God. He's my life. And I mortify my body every day so that sin can't reign in my body. How many of you would do that? How many of you? And you say, Brother Begum, man, I couldn't do that. Why not? Why not? Because you have allowed covetousness to turn into idolatry in your life. And in 4 years, you're going to graduate and leave here. And you're going to leave here with some type of degree. But are you going to leave here equipped spiritually to handle what that world is going to throw you? Because that world has fastballs, knuckleballs, all of them. And they're going to be thrown right at you. And the only way you're going to knock it out of the ballpark is to walk in the Spirit of God. That's the only way. I love you. It's an honor to be able to preach to you at night at the church and also here. What an honor. What a privilege. But what breaks my heart is what's going to take place in the next few moments and what's going to take place when you walk out the back. Let's pray. Father, I love you. I love you with all my heart. I thank you for Hiles Anderson Baptist College. I thank you, Lord, for Brother Wilkerson, for the staff here, for their dedication. And Lord, I pray that no one will quench you during this invitation. I pray that all these students will be honest with themselves and also with you. Lord, I give you now. I hang my hands and I give you the invitation. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, just pray. May want to say, Father, I'm sorry. I have brought reproach upon you, and I am so sorry. I haven't sought you like I should. I'm sorry. I sure haven't been focused upon you. I hadn't even thought about you, Father. I'm sorry. Lord, there are other things in my life that's more important than you. You're not my life right now. I'm sorry. Lord, I haven't mortified in my old flesh. And as Brother Beckham said, I'm in trouble. These things are active, and with your help, I want to mortify every one of them. I want to kill them. I want to crucify them. I want them dead in my life. Help me to walk in the spirit of, in your spirit. And if you'll do those things, oh my, the joy that will flood into your hearts. leave here, leave this chapel service, go back, go to your class, next class, or wherever you're going, victorious, rejoicing in the Lord.